The Holistic AJ Practitioner Certification is open for enrollment right now, so October 14 through 18. Meaning, if turning your mess into your message and creating a career or adding recovery coaching to your existing health practice sounds like a path that you want to take, this is going to be the certification for you. It is an accredited course and the only certification specifically for HA coaches and practitioners. In our program, Ashley and I have laid out our entire framework for working with women with hypothalamic amenorrhea. We're teaching you everything from the physiology to the intake process to the guide and recommendation development to how to track progress in recovery and how to make adjustments all throughout your time working with a client. All of that is the key. Those are your most tactical tools that you need. But then we're also teaching you the soft skills that you need to get buy-in from your clients so that they can actually make the meaningful changes that are necessary to recover for life. So signing up early means, you know, within the first 48 hours, which ends at midnight on Tuesday the 15th, by sending your application in early. That means you can get the early bird discounts and bonuses. So there's a discount, there's a bonus. All of it is, all that information is available on the website. So holisticajpractitioner.com. And if you have any questions, you and I can email about it. So just go to our website, get our contact details. I'm happy to discuss if the course is right for you. It is definitely competitively priced against other women's health certifications, but I'm telling you, we've put everything into it and it is definitely, definitely up there with one of the best trainings that you guys will ever do that will help you in the future work with any and all women. So that's holisticajpractitioner.com. Sign up now. Enrollment is open now and we'll see you guys there. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Okay, guys, this is Ashley Smith with the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast, and I have one of my clients. Y'all, this is going to be the encouragement you need to keep going and finally admit that you're possibly not the unicorn. I honestly thought that Lisa was in the running to be like one of my first unicorns. I was like, oh my gosh, it happened. I finally met a unicorn. And I was wrong. She's not a unicorn. But I'm going to turn it over to her and she's just going to kind of like, Lisa, just kind of like share. Oh, here's the thing. She was one of our restore clients. So there's nothing crazier as a coach to be like, come join my 10-week program. And then it doesn't happen in 10 weeks. And you're like, oh gosh. And then like, as a coach, you're like, oh my gosh, she is a unicorn. It's taking longer. It's taking longer. But knowing that you have to stick with what is being presented, the evidence, all the things. Anyways, so before I go too deep into that, Lisa, welcome. Please tell us about your HA journey.
Well, thank you for having me here. It's crazy feeling because, as you said, I didn't think that I was ever gonna to get through this side of the HA. But yeah, I will just tell my experience and my story. And I can start saying, yeah, that my name is Lisa and I'm 28 years old and I live in southern parts of Sweden. So English is my second language. So if I stumble on the words, it's because of that. So
no, I love it. I'm so impressed when people are like, yeah, it's my second language. I'm sitting here with like one language. It's really bad. It's really bad.
Okay. Well, my childhood, I don't really need to talk about that so much. I guess it was normal. I was doing a lot of activities like soccer, horseback riding, and gymnastics. I love food and I ate a lot. I had a normal body type, like not the thinnest, but not big in any ways. However, I had a quite bad view of my body at an early age. And I did develop some bad like eating habits at my early teens. I had like in what you can call like occasional ED, bulimia in my case. Nothing that was like visible on me though, more than I gained. I gained some weight actually. but then I lost that weight a few times back and forth with like eating less, walking a lot. And then I started what you call high school, the US, we call it something else here. But that was around the time where I like stopped my childhood activities. And I just, I didn't do much than some gym sometimes. And then my rebellious party, like period of time came and I really enjoyed that time. However, I gained like a lot of weight, but I didn't care. I was just living my life. Then I grew up, you can say, and the extreme partying stopped. And I naturally lost more weight. And I actually had quite healthy relationships with food at that time and training. I think that's until today, that's like my best situation I've ever been in my life. Then about a year later, I became more interested in running and gym training and counting calories. So I lost a lot of weight and people really started to notice. I was encouraged and I posted a lot of training and food on Instagram and I got a lot of engagement and people thought I was inspiring because I used to be like a more heavy person. And then moving on to 2017, and that was when I felt like it was time to like step things up. So I joined like this online fitness challenge. So I got a food schedule and an exercise schedule. And my goal was just to lose weight, burn fat, build muscles. And I followed this schedule like a slave. And for the first couple of weeks, I actually felt pretty good. But then I just hit like a wall. I started to get like extremely tired. I had problems like concentrating at work and everything. And I can say I was on the pill. At that time, I was on the pill since I was like, 14, 15, I don't really remember. But I'm pretty sure this is when I developed HA because I got a lot of other symptoms. You can say like digestive problem sleeping, bad mood, bad patience, zero libido, everything. So, and then I also started having a lot of strange bleeds and I went to the doctor and she said solution to all my problems would be to insert a hormonal IUD, said and done. But the IUD, you can correct me here, Ashley, but I don't think that contains any estrogen, or does
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah.
Most of them are just like progestins, you know, so like that synthetic progesterone. Mm-hmm. But so like it's like this, it's supposed to be a low dose, which is interesting because it's like it's up there for 5 years. So you're like, how are you low dosing this progesterone? Yeah. You know what I mean? But.
Yeah. Well, since there is like no estrogen, everything just got worse. Because like now I had no estrogen, not even the synthetic one. Meanwhile, during this fitness challenge, I lost a lot of weight. it made me, I think I landed on like, now I'm talking kilos, but like 55 kilos. I'm 166 centimeters tall. And for somebody, this may be a healthy weight. For me, this was way too skinny. Like I'm not made to be at that weight, let's just say. And even myself, like even I thought I looked skinny. I was very proud that I managed to push through the diet, which was extreme. And I was forbidden to eat those things. Like I wasn't even allowed to eat like carrots or fruit or anything like that, because it was too much carbs and no fat at all. And I also trained like 6 strength sessions a week, finished them off with like 20, 30 minutes of intense cardio. And I did mostly of them in the morning, like on an empty stomach. So I felt pretty done with this extreme diet and training. And I was like, I was just ready to start eating more and have a more muscle building focused lifestyle. So I tried to have that approach for like 3 months, and I got to a healthier weight for me. Unfortunately, my ED came back, my bulimia, because I just couldn't control myself around normal food. So then I decided to start dieting for a bikini fitness competition. The one where you stand on a stage with judges and everything. So not me, if you ask everyone I know. I don't know. I just thought that would be fun. So I was looking forward to do this diet better than I did last one, meaning that on this diet, I would be allowed to eat more fun food like I to do in the last one. And with that, I mean, like carrots.
Carrots are so fun. You know what's so interesting is that whenever you've been so deprived of so many things, carrots do start to taste sweet to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're like, oh my gosh, there's, you know what I love for a treat? Carrots. No, I totally relate. And you know what's so interesting about a lot of people who do or who get into the bikini bodybuilding prep? I don't think it's so much that they want to do it. They're just like, I just know if I do this, then like, I'll look like this. So it's not even that you technically even want to do it. You're just like, but this gets me to looking like that. So this must be the path forward. I could totally relate to that. I could totally relate.
I think for me, it was just an excuse to do an extreme diet and get away with it.
Basically. No, it's a sport. No, I'm just really disciplined. There's a reason. Well, you know what's really interesting, although not saying that if you do bodybuilding or bodybuilding competitions that you automatically have an eating disorder, but I do think that like nobody questions you. You're like, oh yeah, of course. That's what they have to do. And it's almost like this free pass, even though it's rampant in the community. And I'm not saying that everybody, because that would not be a true statement, but you can't say it's not rampant.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I actually got a coach for this diet who just helped me with my training. He only gave me like the limit to be control of the calories. And he was a typical like bodybuilder, and he gave me this lower volume training schedule, actually. So it was a lot lower volume than I had ever done before. More focused on heavy weights and fewer reps. However, I wasn't happy about the pace of the weight loss. So I was walking like maybe 20,000 steps a day and doing intervals after strength sessions without telling my coach. But the diet went pretty smoothly, actually. I have to say, I felt pretty good because I felt so shitty on the last one. And this one, like, yeah, as I said, I could eat some more things and I could put salt on my food. I wasn't allowed to do that on the other one as well. But also, of course, the reason why I felt so good, I understand now, is because I had so much stress in my body. I didn't sleep at night. And of course, there were worse days when I didn't feel great. I had this goal in focus and I got sick all the time, which of course is an indicator of my bad immune system.
Mm-hmm.
At my lowest in this diet, I think I was down to like 1300-1400 calories. And in the last 4 days before the competition, I ate like 600 calories a day. Only protein. And I trained and worked as usual on this intake. So I don't know how I managed to do that. And of course, I was happy. I had veins all over my body, and I even remember I got like bruises on my butt when I was sitting down. And at the competition, I weighed like 50 kilos. So yeah, I looked like a, I don't know, I didn't even look like a child, but I had to buy clothes like in the child section. So I didn't, I thought it was cool, but I mean, I did not feel feminine at all. So that's the funny thing about me. I don't even like to be that skinny, but still I do this. But as I knew, like probably knew before, I didn't even enjoy competing. Like I didn't enjoy being on the stage or intention or anything like that. So I felt like this, I won't probably never do this again. I didn't have really any problems with letting go of this stage body, but of course I was still like afraid to gain weight. So I would, as many other do, this reverse diet, which basically means that you still keep yourself in deficit. So I barely gained any weight at all, like following month. Then also like a few months earlier, I applied and did some tests to get into the police school here in Sweden. So I got in and I started studying in the fall of 2018. And yeah, for context, I'm like 22 years old now, I think. And I knew that I couldn't be this thin when I went into that education. So I started to eat more and yeah, I was like excited to be strong again, and yeah, more feminine. But the years at that education or that school, I guess it can be summed up that I still ate very clean. I still had the typical like orthodoxic lifestyle, with the focus of just being fit and having my routines, just eating at certain times of the day, working out early in the morning, not eating anything before. Of course, I could treat myself like in occasions when we had like exams and so. I absolutely enjoyed my life there, but I just wish that I wasn't as strict as I was, because I probably would have gotten out a lot more from the experiment. And then we are at, I think, 2019. In the autumn, I experienced like a bad breakup and it was tough. So I coped with the training and the diet. It's a way to numb like pain, like many other girls here experience. But then I was done with school, and the following like spring, I moved in with my current partner. During this period, I also took out my IUD, as it cost me a lot of pain, and the months flew by and I did not get a period. And I had like no idea why I didn't get a period. I actually, like, in some way I would say that I didn't care. I think it was mostly like my mom or someone else, like, maybe you should go pick this up. And I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's a good idea. Yeah. We should probably do that.
Yes. So I went to a doctor who diagnosed me with PCO, not PCOS, because she said I don't have any other symptoms. So it's just cystic ovaries. We didn't take any other tests or anything, so it was just by ultrasound. And she also advised me to exercise less, because it could be that I may be exercising too much. But at the same time, she said it was good that I exercised, because it kept my endometrium thin and I would then avoid getting cancer in the uterus.
Oh.
And my skeleton would also be kept strong to compensate for my low estrogen. So yeah, Yes, I think.
Yes, except for it's the very thing that's causing the low estrogen in the non-cycle. But yes.
Yes. But I was happy that I got this diagnosis. I was like, okay, fine. Now I got this on paper and I can just move on with my life. And after that, I guess years has just continued to flow by. And there have been healthier periods of time and less healthier periods of time. My relationship with food has never been healthy. And I could not go like any longer periods of time without dieting. And because as soon as I'm on a diet, like, I mean, I'm in control and I can stay away from all the bad foods. Question mark. What is called this? What is this called?
And then, yeah, like the air quotes.
Yeah. So like, otherwise I was cheating in my ED, just coming back. Yeah, still like the orthorexia lifestyle, you can say. But then like in the summer of 2022, I had some problems with the like urinary tract infections. Like it did not really get any help to my at my health center. So I went to another like doctor in a town a little further away, and I met this great female doctor, and she asked me how my period was, and I said I didn't have one due to PCO. She examined me and said that I don't have PCO at all. And she was amazed that I had been diagnosed with that. She could just terminate by looking at me and see that I have low estrogen by some reason. So she put it in this like estrogen ring or a ring, or I don't know, not a ring, estrogen ring somewhere.
Right, right.
And we took some blood samples. And then I came back for a return a couple of months later. Test results normal but low. She said that I looked pretty athletic, and she asked me about exercise and how I ate. And I said that I exercised a lot, but not like in an extreme way. And she just said, like, you have HA. And like, just like HA, not the full word or anything. And I was like, HA? Because what?
Yeah. Hey, what are you talking about, like, lady?
Yeah. And she was like, hypothalamic. And I was like, hypo, what? What do you say? And she described to me what it was. And I was like completely blown away. Like, I'm not even anorectic or anything. Should this all be in my brain? Is this like to stress? Like, I thought it was just a joke. Like, seriously, I'm not bleeding from my V because I'm stressed. Like, that sounds so strange.
You're trying to tell me that I legit don't have a period just because I'm stressed in my brain. Like,
yes.
You know, I used to feel that same way. So like, one of the most trigger words you could ever say to me be like, just calm down. Or yeah. And I'm like,
absolutely. Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like the thing that sets me off the highest. So also in my journey, when they're like, oh, you just need to like de-stress. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not stressed, you know? And like, I'm not saying that they weren't right, but I'm just like, if you ever want to make someone super resistant to it and not explore de-stressing, just tell them that it's stress and tell them to calm down. You know what I mean? And you're like, I will fully accept that that's maybe like a me problem. I'll own it. I'll own it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just chose to like note this information, and then I just wanted to move on with my life because I just thought this, like, what am I even going to do with this? And I think she felt that I was pretty resistant to this information, so like I went out there without knowing really what I had to do about it. But then like I had some things ahead and like events that I want to look in for and everything, but from time to time I googled this HA, and I just realized that this was maybe something that I needed to be deal with later if I ever wanted to have children. I didn't know if I wanted children at that time, but the more I read, like the more I saw the seriousness of the situation, and apparently there were other health risks with HA than just infertility. So the months passed and I started listening to HA podcast, this podcast, other podcasts, and I just binged HA material in general.
So
I started with baby steps early spring, like 2023. So last year I increased the food a little to maybe like 2200, 2400 calories, and I reduced the training to maybe like 4 days a week. And I really thought that this would be it. But that actually resulted in me like losing weight and getting thinner than I've actually been in a couple of years. So I guess my metabolism really liked it.
Well,
at the same time, I started having like really extreme problems with anxiety and with my sleep. And I just don't think that my, like my nervous system was already in rock bottom. And then this new lifestyle and changes and working against everything that I've ever worked for, like my entire life, it was just too much. And at the same time, I was working a lot of night shifts, like my job can be very stressful. And that resulted that I really performed poorly at work, and I was not happy, and my bulimia, which had been absent for a long time, made a comeback periodically, like from time to time. I thought about going to the doctor and maybe like, I don't know what you call it, but like when you say, I don't feel mentally, and he says, okay, you should not work. I don't know what's really how you say that. Because I felt like I have to do something about this situation. I was having panic attacks and I just felt awful. But I was also like worried to be at home because of my ED. Like that may not be the best thing when you're like alone at home late. So I just saw these problems with like sleeping pills and anxiety pills. And I also saw this type of therapist, which I went to once or twice, but it was difficult to talk to someone who was not familiar with HA. He actually advised me to maybe start working out 6 days a week again, if that's what I feel good about. And yeah, that was not very helpful. And I was thinking about seeking help at an eating disorder clinic or do like CBT focused on eating disorders. But this is like 1 hour away from where I live, and the lines are really, very long, and I didn't want to take up space from those who was needing it more than I did. So I was just keep DIYing this recovery thing and reduced the training, higher up the food, stopped counting my steps, and I gained weight. And I knew that my last card was really to like go all in, but I would be happy if I could have avoiding it. But August came and I decided to do it. So I quit my gym membership and I just started eating like everything, not just junk food, but like try to get the mix.
Yeah, like carrots and hummus.
Yes.
You know,
no, like, but, yeah, no, but just like putting butter on my toast. It was like something I had to think about the night before. I had to think about it in the morning. Like I had to put out the butter, put it on the toast, and like, I'm doing this now. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
So that felt like a huge step. And then in September last year, I decided to see a doctor again, just to pick up again, like, is everything, do I still have HA? Have I done any improvements or anything? But that really resulted like to be the doctor's appointment from hell, basically. It was awful.
Why? What happened at that one?
Yeah, I met this doctor. He was a man. He was not he was not speaking Swedish was not his first language, which I felt straight away, like when we just greeted each other and said hi, that this is going to be an issue because I have so much to say. Mm-hmm. And I can like imagine that this man, he knows his medical terms, but I don't think we can really talk like I want to talk. And that, like, that was an issue. I told him all my story and that I had been diagnosed with HA, and I'm now afraid that I will never be able to have children, but I've made some changes recently, and I like want to see if I've done any improvements.
Hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes and lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99. As a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass.
So when I finish telling him my story, I see him like looking at me and asked me what my weight was. And I answer that I don't know. And he's like bouncing up and just, no, let's put you on the scale. Like, we have to weigh you now. And I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. It seems important for him. And I remember like the scales showing like 76, 77 kilos or something like that. So he was quick to put his take his calculator and calculate my BMI. And was like, your BMI is 27, and this is way too much. Like, you have to have a BMI at not more than 23 to have a period. Okay. Like, you have to lose like 15 kilos to get your period back.
Stop!
And I just started crying, and I started yelling and screaming at him, like, you have not heard, like, a single word of what I just told you. And I have to say, like, yeah, I had gained at that point like 13, 14 kilos since I started, but like my body looked amazing. I can say that now. I could, yeah, of course, not see it at that time, but like my body at that weight is like perfect. I looked great. Yeah. But yeah, as I said, he said this is too much. And he also said that I have PCOS based only at my BMI. I have PCOS.
Yeah, he don't said, you love that? You're like, you haven't looked at any labs. You haven't asked me anything about my life, but you calculated, you did a simple calculation and you've come to the conclusion that I have PCOS. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And by this time, I mean, I knew like everything about PCOS and HA. So I knew that I don't have PCOS. Yeah. So he then, and I cried and I yelled, but then I had to like take a deep breath. Okay. So just get this examination thing. So he looked and he said that like my estrogen still looks very low and maybe this could be HA. He said, maybe your previous doctor was right. But he, decides to prescribe me with Provera, and he says, if I bleed from the Provera, it is PCOS. And then if I don't bleed, we can just continue to investigate. Like a month later, I did some blood samples. I didn't take the Provera because I just, like, if there was any, I knew that everything looked like estrogen looked low. I didn't have any dominant follicles. My uterine lining was thin, but I still felt like maybe there is an ovulation coming, and then I didn't want to ruin it with like Provera. So
yeah,
I didn't take it. I did the labs like a month later and they were still low. I had improvements from the year before, but still low. And I felt pretty like defeated. Like I did everything right. I ate a lot and I didn't exercise. I did maybe 30 minutes of walking a day. And that's when I got the support from you. I joined the Restore. And
so let's pause right there, because I remember getting your application and I could just feel the fire from your application. And I think I told Danny, I was like, I don't think that this is a good candidate for the Restore program. Like, this chick seems like she's already pissed, because I think that you had wrote something like, I think it was like, what is something that's important for your practitioners to know? And I think that you're like, basically, don't even tell me that I need to gain any more weight. I already have, right? And I was just like, what? I was just like, oh, wow. I mean, like, but like, what if she needs to, you know? Because like, we didn't know anything about you then, right? So we're just like, I don't know if she's ready for change, right? Just like all these things. And and then you wind up being like one of my top faves, right? You know what I mean? I just remember like once I met you and all this, I was like, Ashley, you are eating your words, because she's like, great. You know what I mean? But I just like, but like hearing everything that led up to that, I'd probably fill out that application a little fiery myself too.
yeah this was like my final card to play with, and I as you said, I was not willing to gain any more weight. I just thought by sending in this application and having you as my coach, that alone would get my period back. Like, I thought everybody who's doing the coaching, they get their period back. Right. So I guess I will get that too. So I did the Restore, and you came with a lot of great inputs and tweaks, which I followed. And then my extreme hunger kicked in. It was terrible. I was hungry all the time. It affected my everyday life a lot. I was never satisfied. I could eat a buffet and take like several portions, but 1 hour later, my stomach was just rumbling. And this really was like physical hunger. Like mentally, I was satisfied, but my stomach was just hungry. So I just chose to honor my hunger, and I just ate with the purpose that the more I just lean into this, the faster my period will come and the faster I can return to a normal life. So
hold on real quick. Do you feel like that was like
Do you feel like that was really scary to lean into, like, this hunger that's suddenly awoken, like, probably a couple weeks into the Restore program, just like suddenly awoken? You're like, what is this doing here? I've already gained weight. I've already did the thing. Like, what do you mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was super scary. Like, as I said, I had gained a lot of weight and I was eating a lot. Like, even since the start, I have never really been so afraid of the food. I have just been like afraid of not exercising. So food has never really scared me in that way, as long as I can eat my like safe mm-hmm. diet food. But this was just scary because it really did not matter what I ate. I thought like if I eat more like junk food, maybe I will get more satisfied, but that really didn't matter what I ate. So it was frustrating, and I really like locked myself in. I did not want to go out because like I was just gaining weight so rapidly that like I had nothing to wear. I was really ashamed of like myself, but at the same time I knew that I just have to do this because I haven't gone this far, like, and then just eating. So I was just eating, thinking like this would be it, now my period will come. But yeah, maybe a month later my extreme hunger got better and I felt like I did a lot of improvements, which always was fun to share like with the girls in the Restore. And a big improvement was my sleep. I was suddenly able to sleep like 7 to 8 hours a night without waking up. And I didn't have any anxiety anymore. And I didn't have to take like any pills, any medication, anything like that. And that was just amazing.
Like that was like your first taste of progress. You know what I mean? Like that was like your first taste of progress, even though you had already technically like gained weight and ate more. So what do you think was like different? Maybe it was just time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just like an extended amount of time. But like, why do you think maybe progress started then? Or just seeing positive signs, I guess, instead of, you know what I mean?
I actually don't know, if I'm going to be Fair. Honest. I think my entire journey is really like just, it just needed time. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll get to that. But I just felt like, it actually, of course, it mattered that I didn't train like a freak or was on a diet. But like, sometimes I just felt like it doesn't really matter what I did. This was just like not getting better. Like, what better? I mean, my period not coming. Of course, I did a lot of other improvements. So yeah, I just think it was the time. I remember it also, like, I had a chat with my boss like a couple months earlier. So I basically stopped working night shifts and more like daytime and everything. So I think that was also like doing its part. To not be like running around at nights and not sleeping afterwards.
Right.
Again. So, yeah. But I also get to get, I also started to get more like CM and more energy in general. So you can say like at the end of 2023, I found myself with like a more enriched life in many ways, but in a body also that was bigger than it had ever been. Until no period. And just for context, like I have not weighed myself since that doctor visit in September, and I have no plans to do either.
Yeah. But
I'm pretty sure that I have like gained maybe 30, 40 kilos since starting my recovery journey. And that was really like nightmare scenario that I never thought would happen to me. Like, even if I saw all these positive things in my life, like that was sad for me, of course. But yeah, so finishing off the Restore, of course, as I said, did a lot of improvements, no period. I was actually pretty tired of the whole like all-in approach at that time. So I felt like I need to take like a step back and eat more like I want to, not feeling that I have to eat like high fat, high carb, high everything.
Yeah.
For a while. Since I was like, I knew that gaining more fat on my body is not gonna get my period to come. Like, maybe just try to find a more like still eating a lot, but more like a substantial recovery time for me. So I was, as I said, still eating a lot, but then this spring, I don't know if it was maybe even like February or something, you suggested that I might start working out a little bit, like 1 or 2 days a week. I thought that sounded like a good idea, because then I had not been doing any like training for 6 months.
Because you and I had been like, you know what? Pause. You're not doing anything wrong. And you're like, I think that this is so important that, you know, you came from a kind of a really extreme background. And while there's plenty of like, I think that there is some studies out there basically showing, not like official studies, but I think in the No Period Now What book, she talks about how some people, like, you know, like basically like the longer you have HA does not impact your recovery time. And so I have found that to be true too, but I've also seen where like you had a really extreme background, and not to mention your job is actually very stressful. Like, you are a police officer who you used to work nights, like, you know what I mean? And then like you stopped working nights, correct?
Yeah, I do a few, like,
yeah.
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 But not as earlier.
Yeah. And like some days, you know, like she's like emailing me saying that, like, and then I got like punched in the face today. You know what I mean? Or, you know, like I had to chase down some dude. You know what I mean? And yet, and like, which like we agreed, hey, no, not everybody needs to quit their job. Not everyone needs to quit their job to recover, nor do people always want to quit their job in order to recover. And you're like, that's not an option for me. I don't want to do that. And so I think at that point, we were like, okay, then are we okay with this just taking longer? And you were like, yes, I'm okay with this taking longer. And like the important thing was, and what this whole tangent that I got on was that there wasn't anything else left for you to do. Like, it wasn't to your point, it wasn't that like you were secretly holding back on food. You weren't secretly holding back on exercise. You know what I mean? Like, you were sleeping the best you've ever slept, you know, like all these other things. And so we had taken the approach like, okay, we're not giving up, but we're going to start living our life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. because I do believe that putting your life on hold is just as stressful as you sitting there obsessing about recovery. And so this is kind of where I feel like you were like, yeah, I'm going to start going back to the gym. I'm going to start, you know, doing these other small things, because for you, it's, you know, it's not like, oh my gosh, this didn't work within 10 weeks because I'm not doing something right. No, you were doing all the right things. You were, you know.
Yeah, and I really did put my life on pause, as you said. Like, I didn't really want to meet friends, that I didn't want to travel. I like, all with the purpose that maybe this will set me back. Like, maybe if I go on this journey, like vacation, I would walk too much, or I would drink alcohol, which can have a negative impact. And so, like, stuff like that. And that we talked a lot about, and just like came to the conclusion that I have to stop, like, think like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And as you said, like, the job was still, I mean, I did my best, but there were days where I just couldn't eat like an entire day due to like there were really in my job there really is those situations where you can't just take a protein bar and stand there and eat it. Like, that would be really strange. So
yeah,
I had some of those days, which of course didn't serve me very well. And then I also did like the HTMA, and I really can recommend every HA girl to do that, because that was like easier for me to really see that I have this like imbalances and deficiencies, of course, in potassium and sodium, which is the common ones.
Yeah.
But I think I just needed that on paper. So I started to eat more of those type of foods, and I also supplemented with some other things that I was deficient in, and so I just went on like doing this. I went to an outdoor gym like with my dog, and it was really like cozy thing for us to do, because I just didn't really feel that I was ready to enter the gym again, like with this new body and everything. So I was just doing outdoor workouts and doing my like potassium focused food, and trying to live my life like still I really want to be clear with that. I was still eating like a lot, so I didn't really cut back on food. I just started eating like this more in between thing. After like 3 months, I think it was, I ovulated and I got my period. So
like that. And I think it's so crazy that like you just needed more time and needed to start living your life. And I think that's so important, because I think like a lot of, I mean, because obviously like you were working on things before you got to us. So like it wasn't just 10 weeks. So how long do you think that you were working on recovery, you know, before you joined the Restore?
No, I don't really remember exactly what date I started the Restore, but I did like dip my toes into recovery in like, let's say March of 2023. Like then I was like half in, and then I got all in for a while, and then I started the Restore. You know, I have no idea. Was it in November or?
Maybe it was. I mean,
I think it was in November. And then the Restore is 10 weeks, right? So right. I think it was ending in February, January, or yeah, I don't know. I can't do math. So.
Well,
so
yeah.
Like in total, it was more, I was working on recovery for more than a year. And I, I was all in at least 6 months of that.
Yeah. And so like that's really why I wanted you to come on here and just share your story of like, my gosh, you know what I mean? I think sometimes, you know, and then like obviously like, you know, like there were still things to improve during like Restore. So, you know, yeah, I think it's just important that like at this point, you know, your body had been through so much. You know, doctors were going back and forth. And then at the end of the day, you know, I mean, like your key component was like, I'm just going to be consistent, but I'm also going to live my life. And I think I'm just forever convinced that this will always be bigger than just food. While it's like extremely important, that's not, you know what I mean? But I mean, I think also for you, considering how like how stressful your life is, I do think that that's important too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm still like, hey, this is freaking important too. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah. And like the couple of months before my period came, like I was not stressed or anxious anymore,
right?
And I really like, also that's basically food related, but earlier I have always been drinking like at least like 5 liters or something of like a diet soda or sugar-free like lemonade and everything. So I had like for almost like 10 years of my life just like flushing out all the minerals and everything. So just by like adding this like electrolytes and eating more, like, because when you drink that much, it's usually it's like due to being hungry. So it was like, I think that would also do its part along with like living my life and trying to just accept, like, now I look like this, I will look like this for a while. Like, even if I get my period like today, I'm not gonna lose all this weight. Like, I will probably look like this for maybe a year more. So I could just try to accept it in the best way. I don't have to love my body, but I can accept it and try to like dress better or like do my hair or do my makeup, like go and do my nails and like do those things that I really haven't done before, because you know, you live in the sports bra and you know, you don't really care about,
yeah, like you don't really try anymore. Like, I mean, that was so me. I just walked in. And well, because I think that's because like you don't actually really care what you wear, because you're like, oh, well, I'm just jacked. So that's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing my jackedness. So I don't really care. And then like whenever I didn't have all these super shredded muscles, I was like, oh, I need to like pay attention to how I dress, because it totally makes a difference. And this isn't about price point. It's just about like certain cuts look good on you because your body is a certain way. And yeah, it was just, I mean, that was a whole transition for me. And even something that I continue to be like, Ashley, we, you know, like, you know, like putting effort in now these days isn't dieting. Putting effort in is like, oh, does this cut complement my body? There's actually nothing wrong with my body. It's the cut, like, mm-hmm. but does this actually work? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, I still love my sweats and I always wear at home. Like, but just like, yeah, as you say, actually buy something that I feel pretty in or like feel okay in and like those money into buying that.
Yeah.
Like, also, like, I really felt like, I think it was, like, in January or something where my, like, weight gain stopped. And now I have just, I look the same. Like, so, and it's also easier to actually buy something because you feel like, okay, I'm not gaining anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, after my first period, of course, I was really, really happy. It felt like I had graduated or something. Like, I called my friends and my family and I got flowers and it was just like, aww, it was an amazing day. So, and then I, like, I have heard it 100 times, like, don't change anything. So I did not change anything after, and I got my second period like on cycle day 35 or something. So
yeah,
that was also like, okay, I know we have talked about, I don't know if I even ovulated, but I'm like, doesn't matter, I'm happy regardless.
Yeah.
And now I've noticed it's harder to keep these routines and you really want to like move more and eat less. Like, I am generally quite happy about the way I'm eating. I just have noticed that I'm not so hungry anymore. I'm like, basically, I think I would have no problems with going like half a day without eating because I don't feel hungry, but I still eat because I just, I want my cycle to regulate and I want to trust my body. And like, I have done so much work and I don't want to lose it. I don't want to mess it up again. So that for me is like the most important thing in my life right now, basically, is to just keep my period coming.
I love this so much for you, because now like you and I get to chat about keeping our cycle and moving forward. And one of the biggest things, and it's probably the biggest theme this week, is, and it's only Tuesday, is you know, once we recover, we have to remember that the body does not require us to monitor
and make sure we ovulate, like when it's just given the things that it needs, ovulation runs in the background. This is not something that our body needs us to be like, what day is it? Okay, push a certain button. Like, no, you know, like breathing, like, yes, obviously we can be intentional about deep belly breaths or breathing in and breathing out, but like your body is going to breathe without, you know what I mean? Like without you thinking about it because it's needed. And so now you get to like enter into the season of what does it look like to keep my cycle? And like, for example, if like you have a travel day and you don't eat as much, like you're fine. You're going to be fine. We're all fine. Like, you know, rather than sitting there and be like, oh my gosh, I missed a snack. Ovulation isn't going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's what I look forward to just chatting with you about and working with you on is how do we now make this transition into like, I'm healed and I'm going to go about my life healed. You know what I mean? Okay, love. Well, I have, seriously, thank you for sharing your story. Is there anything else that you want to tell the people or do you feel like pretty much I summed it up? You guys got my whole life story.
Yeah, you basically did. I was worried that it would take way too long, but no, I don't really have any famous words to say except for like, I am a living proof that it can take a year, even if you don't do anything wrong, even if it's just HA. Like, of course, I had had my side problems with my work and anxiety and other stuff, but really that it can just be HA. Like, don't be too hard on yourself if you don't get your period in 2 months, because, and just try to live your life while doing it. You never want to do it again. Like, I never want to do period recovery again. It's like the worst thing. It was, I mean, it's harder than all my diets combined. Like, it's just mentally tough, and it's mentally tough to see all the people, meet all the people around you noticing like you're gaining, but they have no idea what you're doing. Like, I have been open to all my closest ones and my colleagues and everything, but like friends or like people I haven't seen in like a year, seeing me like have gained so much, it's, you know, you just want to have like walk around with this sign on you where it says like, I'm in period recovery. I don't sit on my couch like eating pizza and like without a reason. Like,
You're like, this is on purpose. This is on purpose. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get my health back. I'm doing this so I can have children in the future. I'm doing this to not like die from osteoporosis or you know, it's like,
Like, so, I'm doing something important over here, guys. Like, well, thank you so much. And
we
appreciate you. And we're going to have you come back on and just update us like a year from now. You know what I mean? Like, how was life? How was life?
Perfect.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. It's me, Danny. And I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are. And that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, My wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient-rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.